This is the KPFK Finance Committee meeting of November 19th, 2021. It's 4:13 p.m. in the evening. My name is Fred Blair. I'm the chair of the Finance Committee. I'm now going to call roll and establish quorum. I'm hearing somebody breathing very loud. Could you mute your microphone until called upon? Okay. Okay, Alan Beek, are you present?
Present, Alan Beek.
Thank you. Beth Van Gooten?
Here.
Thank you.
Here.
Michael Novick?
Present.
Thank you, Michael. Lawrence Reyes?
President, I had to call in as a guest, but sorry.
Okay. Recibo Rivas?
Rocio Rivas.
Please, Bella, do not correct me. I'm trying to establish quorum. She can let Rocio correct me if I made a mistake. Not hearing her. Janine Rowan?
Present.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Thank you. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Thank you, Ken. Raymond Goldstone? Raymond? Michael Heiss?
Here.
Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson is present.
Steve Kaiser?
Steve Kaiser's here.
King Riley? King, are you present? Okay. Zuri Rideau? Zuri? Maria Skelton? Maria? Ruth Strauss?
Here.
John Wanger? John? Okay. Okay, the next two people are, have indicated they want to become potential members. Sue Cohen Johnson?
Here? Can you hear me?
Yes. You've now attended three meetings, according to my records. So next, the next meeting, you will be a voting member. Mike Bresler? Okay. Not hearing. Okay. We actually have
question information.
What's your point of information, Lawrence?
So from what I understand, the person at the third meeting, at the third consecutive meeting, becomes a voting member. That's from what I understand.
Well, I was being kind of conservative, and I guess Sue Cohen Johnson is actually a voting member at this point. Because you've attended three meetings. So I'll ask you for a vote if we take any. Okay. Right now I'm
Jonathan Mark Witt.
Yes, hold on, Jonathan. So I'm going to announce that we have quorum. We have 13 we have 13 of 19 present. Quorum is 11, so we have quorum. Jonathan, do you want to be added to the list of memberships of the voting members of the committee?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to point out that your phone is distorting on the input. You may want to turn down your sensitivity on your phone or pull it away from your mouth just a little bit. It's distorting.
You made your point. Is this better? Is this better?
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that. I adjusted the volume. Okay, so we have quorum. As I announced, my understanding is that this is a special meeting on the financial crisis at KPFK, and that the December 1st meeting is the continuation meeting from November 10th. So I haven't generated the minutes for November 10th, so I don't have those to consult with. I'd have to go over the audio. In any case, I did send out a few minutes before the meeting the minutes for October 13th. I think it would be appropriate if I got a motion to approve those minutes from the floor.
Bella to be heard.
I'm requesting a motion from the floor
to
approve the minutes.
So moved.
Okay.
Motion.
Hold on, Bella. There's a motion to approve the minutes of October 13th. Is there any objections?
Bella.
Okay, what's your objection,
Janine,
Bella?
Janine objects.
Okay, Bella, do you also object?
I said I object.
That's why I'm asking you to affirm that. Okay, so it would be appropriate to vote on the minutes, accepting the minutes at this point in time. I will take a vote. So, Alan Beek.
Fred?
I'm sorry. Let's have a discussion. I'm sorry. Discussion is appropriate.
Fred, point of information, Fred.
Yes, what's your point of information?
Okay, this is Grace. If you like, I can take the minutes for this meeting to take the burden off of you. And if you like, I can call the roll on this.
I would prefer to call the roll myself since I have a spreadsheet and it's basic information for the meeting for the chair to do that. But I would accept
okay,
you doing
fine.
The minutes. I would accept you doing the minutes in the future.
Okay. Jonathan would like to object
hold on, Jonathan. You're not a member of the Finance Committee. You cannot object.
Okay.
The discussion around the minutes is, are there any, since I sent out the minutes shortly before the meeting, are there any corrections to the minutes?
If Bella objects, she should have a direction. A correction. I'd like to know what her correction is.
I'm sorry? Alan.
If Bella objected to the minutes. If she objects, I think she should tell us what's wrong.
That's why I'm asking. Bella, what's appropriate for the minutes is making corrections. You can't, okay? Do you have specific corrections for the minutes that I sent out? And by the way, corrections are always appropriate for minutes, at any time.
Fred, are you addressing Bella?
Yes, I'm addressing Bella. Do you have specific corrections to the minutes?
I did not hear your name addressing me. Now I hear you, and I will address you. Yes, I have objection. I just received the minutes, but I also noticed that I already had previous minutes for that very same meeting. So I am very confused, and I have to compare notes. So this is the reason why I object. I need time to go over them. Thank you. You just sent them out.
I answered your question. Are there any corrections to the minutes I sent out? I'm sorry.
Does this mean?
Yes.
I would like to delay the approval of these minutes until I can review how it's being recounted, how you muted Bella. And I say that because it seems to me that it's based on your bias and interpretation. It says because she will not take direction from the chair. And I don't think that sort of notation, one, is necessary. And two, I don't believe I remember it being warranted that she was muted. So in light of that, I think either we delay the approval of these minutes until people can review. In fact, I've been queuing up that part of the audio. We could even do it later in the agenda. Or we delete that part of the agenda, of the minutes. Thank you.
Janine, you can propose changes to the minutes in an email to the committee and get them changed at the next meeting. I just would like to get the minutes approved at this point in time.
Well, then why don't we omit that first portion where it recounts line by line your impression of how that interaction went, and we can approve the rest, which is the voting and a lot more solid transactions during the agenda. I don't think that it needs to, that portion of your minutes needs to be included until it gets reviewed.
Okay, I will agree to remove that I will agree to move that one line of the minutes. Can we have approval of the minutes?
I want to specify. It's all five of those lines at the beginning of the minutes.
I will not agree to that.
Well, Paulina to the staff.
Yes, Paulina. What's
Norms to the stature.
Thank you. I'd just like to make a general comment about how minutes, how we'd like to keep minutes in to make sure that we don't get into legal trouble. What should be recorded is are the votes being taken, the motions being discussed, not the discussion necessarily, and the results. That way we don't get into trouble of, when we get narrative minutes, at least on the PND, and Grace, Aaron will second what I'm saying. We're not trying to interpret what happened, but rather record exactly what happened as in. The motions, right? So do you see what I'm saying? So I would strongly suggest that the committees also try to keep to that. Thank you.
Okay, Ken, I'm responding because I'm the secretary of the committee for those minutes. Please mute your microphone. My minutes are action minutes. There's no narrative recorded in them. Would somebody please mute their microphone? Thank you. My minutes are action minutes. There's no narrative recorded in the minutes. I agreed to the one line, to take out the one line where I said the chair muted Bella DeSoto for not taking directions from the chair. I will remove that, and we can deal with that at the next Finance Committee meeting. But there's no narrative in the rest of the minutes. The rest of the minutes are all action minutes.
Lawrence is on the stack, right, Chair?
Janine, you've already spoke. Lawrence, you have the floor.
To the stack.
Okay, Fred, I think there's some things that are lost in translation. I do agree with Paulina in regards to she's the secretary of the PNB. But once you, Chair, as both the chair and the secretary, submits to the minutes to the committee, it is not up to you to engage in negotiations whether you're going to accept or reject amendments to those minutes. That's up to the committee. Once you submitted the minutes to the committee, it's in the purview of the committee to vote on corrections or deletions or amendments to the minutes. So I just wanted to try to impress upon you that it's really not up to you to, you know, negotiate with members that are objecting to some things in the minutes. The member objects to something, submits an amendment, or submits a correction or a request for a deletion of something in the minutes, and it's up to the committee to take a vote whether to accept that or not. It's not open to you negotiating with the person objecting, Chair. So I just want to hopefully that'll put us on the right track. Thank you.
Alan Beek, may I have the floor?
Alan, you may.
Alan,
you may have the floor.
There is one other alternative, and that is to postpone consideration of those minutes until the next meeting. I move that we do that.
I will second that, Lawrence.
I'm through speaking.
Well, you're
Ruth
not.
Strauss is.
Ruth, you have the floor.
I have been on the planet quite a while, and I've never seen comments like number one and number three. So I'd like to know what it is that we are, if we're postponing voting on the minutes, then are they going to be the same as what is here, or are they going to be resubmitted without ad hominem comments? Or I'm just unclear, so maybe somebody can explain it to me. Thank you.
I will know. The chair will know.
Point of information.
Grace, what's your point of information? Yes, what's your point of information?
Both Janine earlier and Alan Beek just a minute ago moved to postpone consideration of approval of these minutes until the next meeting. That motion is on the floor. It should be discussed and voted on. In terms of amendments to the minutes, the chair and the secretary can be sent by email corrections to the minutes, or corrections can be brought at the next meeting if these minutes are postponed, approval of these minutes are postponed. But right now, I believe that the only item on the floor right now is postponing consideration of these minutes.
Thank you.
By Janine earlier and Alan Beek just a few seconds ago.
Thank you
and
for.
There's no second.
Hold
no
on.
Second
don't
no,
speak.
Wait
don't.
A no
don't
second.
Speak over the chair. Do not speak okay. over the chair. Okay. So the motion on the floor is to postpone the minutes. Is there discussion on that?
Yeah.
Is there any discussion on postponing the minutes?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, you're not a member of the committee yet.
Oh, well, I am a member of the committee, actually, but I am actually allowed to vote.
Okay. Now, is there any discussion on the motion to postpone the minutes? Not hearing any discussion. Is there any objection to postponing the minutes till next meeting? Hearing no objection, the minutes are postponed to the next meeting of the Finance Committee. So we're now on to the main agenda item for this meeting, which is a discussion of the financial crisis at KPFK. I'm sorry, I don't have a piece of paper to take a stack, but I'm now asking for people who want to discuss the issue of the financial crisis at KPFK. At the Wednesday LSB meeting, I sent out my treasurer's report where I gave the basic statistics on what's going on with the finances at KPFK, the nature of the crisis. Would people like to start discussing this? Hello?
Yes, this is Grace for the STAC.
Okay, anybody else? Grace,
Janine to the stack.
Okay, Janine.
Yes, okay. Alan Beek, we like to get on the stack.
Okay. Fourth person. Okay, Grace, I'm going to let you go ahead. I'm going to take my headphones off and get a paper and pencil for the stack. So please go ahead.
Okay, currently, KPFK, according to Fred's report, which is accurate, is bringing in one quarter of the income that it did about approximately 1 year ago. This is a very severe financial situation. I don't know the exact amount. We are running in deficit each month, but it's significant. We can no longer continue to operate as a station in this situation. There have been some proposals that have been brought forward. They seem to be medium to long-term proposals. The GM of KPFK, Mikel Estrada, suggested needing time. Unfortunately, we don't have that luxury. Immediate action needs to be taken. I think that personally the only, if we don't take immediate action, the station will be made into a repeater station because it will be just impossible to meet the payroll at KPFK. It's illegal not to pay staff if they have not been laid off. So the foundation will have to pay staff no matter what. And it's just the money just does not exist to do that, except to borrow money, and I don't think that that's wise. So we have to take immediate action, which I would say reducing expenses significantly and partially taking programming from our other four stations to fill in the gap so that we maintain some sort of a station here in L.A. Otherwise, we're risking having all of our staff or virtually all of our staff laid off and KPFK being made into a repeater station as was done in to WBAI in 2019. I hope that that doesn't have to happen, but this is a crisis situation and medium to long-term planning is not going to work right now. We have to make drastic changes immediately or close to immediately. That's all.
Miss Bolina for the stack.
I'm sorry, who asked for the stack?
Bolina.
Okay, I got you.
Lawrence after the... Lawrence also, please.
I got you, Lawrence and Polina. Was that Sue Cohen Johnson who also asked to speak?
Yes, please.
Okay. And our rule is that public members can... I'm sorry? Mike Heiss, okay.
I didn't need to interrupt Mike Heiss.
Right. Okay, I got you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you.
And... our rule is that the public can ask questions and participate after committee members, but in any case, Janine, you have the floor next.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to just point out that we don't have the last 3 months of financials, so. When we say that we're compared to last year, it's just we don't really have where we're at right now. So I don't know what our status is with that, and I'm hoping, Fred, you can let us know about that. I agree that reducing expenses is important and evaluation of our current expenses, but I also think, again, I maintain that it's really difficult for this GM to assess his bills and all of our expenses without anyone on hand, a right hand to help him look at things. Maybe the business manager was more expensive, but certainly having somebody in a day or two a week, I still think that that would be you know, a really good idea. I feel every time he speaks about it, he is very frustrated. Right now, we don't have any of our financials for 3 months, so how is he supposed to look at anything? Having a general ledger for this year would be very helpful for us to be able to look through. One of the things I noticed from our last general ledger from the last fiscal year is that there's a back and forth on items that we pay for WDAI, and then they pay on our behalf. And a general ledger would show us what we are in debt for with various loans that we've had, but also who we have paid bills for, which I think is important for us to look at before we just blankly say that we're so in the hole. So I really urge for a full set of financials, which 2 years ago this committee signed and the LSB voted on in favor of. That includes the trial balance. Thank you.
Alan Beek, you have the floor.
When you're running out of money, the only thing to do is to go get more money. We could either go to the big loan source and ask them for some more money, or we could do some things that bring in more money here. I have sent an email to most of the Finance Committee suggesting three things we could do. One is to have a blog so we'd get more money from our listeners. One is to rearrange the fund drive timing so it would be more acceptable to listeners. And one is a programming change to have more debates on civic issues. I offer those three for consideration. I'm off.
Alan, thank you. Polina, you have the floor.
Thank you. Our general manager, Miguel Calzada, spoke at the Pacifica National Board open meeting yesterday, and he referred, actually, as a matter of fact, I would say that the suggestions that I just heard from Mr. Beek were part of our GM's proposed plan or what he is doing. And, of course, Grace Aaron is partially right in that sense that a lot of the plans that we heard from our general manager seem to be more longer term. Nevertheless, I would like to also remind this committee that the GM also mentioned that KPFK generously lent some of the money that came in from the fund drive to another Pacifica unit. I forget the details, but in any case, point being, how can we be of help right now? I'm very concerned that we heard from Julia Kennard of NETA at the last finance meeting, and Julia promised that we would very soon achieve what any other organization expects from their accountants, which is to have a P&L by the 15th of the following month after closing. That doesn't seem to be happening. Is that right? I mean, if we don't have the financials past, you know, 15 days past the closing date of the month, what is going on? And they were saying that they would be able to deliver by November, that we will be on track. By the 15th of the month, we would have the October financials. You know, I'd like to know. I'm not sure what's going on. That's my question. And finally, as far as trying to help fundraise, I think we should support our general manager in his efforts right now to, A, reach out to lapsed donors, reach out to those people that could be contributing and are not for whatever reason, the million reasons that we have. I also very much support our new GM's plan to revamp the grid to you know, to get to that point. Oh yeah, and about the pumping programming from other stations, we're already doing that. Unfortunately, that is not a short-term solution. Bringing in a new show from a different station might be a wonderful idea if it's well promoted, and it takes time for listeners to actually grow to love it. So that's also more of a medium and long-term goal, and bringing in programming from other stations, although a great idea, would not solve our short-term goals. So I would like to go back to Grace. What would maybe Grace, you could talk about at some point, what ideas do you have for short-term solutions to this crisis, which is definitely a crisis? Thank you.
Thank you, Paulina.
Jonathan on the stack. Jonathan on the stack.
I'll put you on the Jonathan, I'll put you on the stack lower down after permanent committee.
No more discussion.
Okay.
Do not mute me. Somebody is muting me. I had to call in from another number. Do not mute me.
Lawrence, what is your point of order, Beth? Beth, what is your point of order? I heard
this
Beth.
I haven't spoken. Thanks. It's not me.
Do you? Okay. Thank you, Lawrence. You have the floor.
Thank you. So, do you hear me?
I can hear you, Chair. I can hear you fine.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. So, one of the things that I'm concerned with is. And I also would like to hear, since Grace has been around in many capacities, what have some of her short-term goals or short-term plans. One of the things that I proposed in the fundraising committee is to immediately go on the air with emergency programming that's relevant to the issues of the day. And report to our listeners the crisis that we are in, and that this is we need to be candid and upfront with them, because the whole idea of people even think of entertaining the thought of KPFK becoming a repeater station is akin to the coup that was done on WBAI, and I'm not feeling that at all. So what we need to do is we need to immediately have the GM inform our listeners of the situation that we are in, for him to develop in conjunction with the appropriate staff emergency programming that's going to address the situation that we are in, and that would pique the interest of our listeners who have been essentially driven away by the nefarious motives of some staff when they were able to use the air to depress our donor membership base. So I think that's an immediate short-term plan that needs to be seriously considered. And the way to do that is to let our people know what the hell is going on at KPFK and what kind of situation we are in, because if we don't, they are not going to know, and they are just going to assume that we are being sneaky and non-transparent. So we need to have the GM engage in that conversation with them. Just recently, the report to the listener should have been used to articulate the narrative and the situation we are in, not to bring in, some kind of personality, like it was done. So, I think that's an immediate short-term plan that we need to do. And then as the GM said yesterday at the PMB meeting, we need to inform our constituents and really speak highly of KPFK and the situation we are in, and for them to return, because we lost a lot of people as a result of the propaganda and the misinformation that was provided to them during the referendums. So that's my suggestion as an immediate short-term plan, and we should definitely follow up on the ideas of the fundraising committee that has been very fruitful. And we need to determine which ones are medium range goals, which are long-term goals. But the immediate thing is to alert our people that we are in an emergency and we are in a crisis right now. So I think that's one of the things that we should do. So, I definitely would like to hear what Grace's short-term plans are, since she's been in a lot of roles in our network. Thank you.
Michael Novick to the stack.
Yeah. Hold on. Michael, I have a text message from the chair of the National Finance Committee, James Sargentin. I would like to read that and then proceed on. Is that all right with the committee? It's just a short text message.
Stack, can you hear me?
Well, I'm gonna object. We're having a conversation. I'd like to hear from the rest of the committees before we have more interference from James Sargentin and WBAI. I'd like to hear from the committee so we could address their concerns. So I would object reading that text.
Okay.
Beth, okay. What's your point of order, Beth?
No, just Beth to the stack. You can add me to the bottom of the stack.
Okay. Hold on. Wu speaking. Look, let the chair run the...
It's Grace. What? It's Grace. I just have written down the stack if you wish to hear it.
No, I have the stack. I'm controlling
okay.
the stack.
Okay.
I said I'm going to control the stack. Okay.
Thank you.
I've got three public members who want to ask questions. I'm going to include you, Sue Cohen Johnson. You have the floor,
Mr. Chair.
Who's speaking? Yes. Who's speaking? Is this a point of order?
It is not. I am announcing my presence.
And who are you?
Raymond Goldstone.
Thank you, Raymond. I will record you as present. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Sue.
Okay.
You have the floor, Sue.
Okay. I think we should swallow our pride and take good shows from other stations. And I know it takes a while to ramp up those, but some of them are really good and they might work. And some of our best shows are not in afternoon drive time. And why not? And I think one of us is kind of burnt out already, and so I'm worried about that pillar of our community. And I know at least one person that we could bring in who's an expert planner and pitcher. And I would like to hear a report from the fundraising committee. Thanks.
Thank you, Sue. Michael Heiss, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. A question, and I don't know what. The question is, to make the discussion a little bit more focused without going through the minutia of the financial reports, is there a bottom line number of what the monthly nut is to keep the station on the air? So then you can judge the amount of what the nut is against what the income is. I mean, that would seem to be very simple. I'd also like to make a suggestion that this is the Finance Committee, and although the programming that brings in the listeners and hopefully the supporters and the other things that surround that are somewhat tangential. What are the finances and how the Sand Hill do we improve them? What's being done? Mikkel mentioned in one of the meetings earlier in the week, a report to the listener, that they're making progress on cutting the telecom bill. What are the things that we can do immediately that are not related to programming that will have an impact on the financial outlook, and where do we need to guide ourselves to so that we stay on the bleeping air? Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And Michael, the monthly operating expenses are basically $250,000 per month at this time.
Okay, thank you.
And how?
What's
the income?
Who's speaking? I don't understand what you're saying. Sue?
What is the income per month?
That's a whole different story. You don't have the floor. I'm going to call on Jonathan Markowitz now. Jonathan, you have the floor. Try and not make it a speech.
Okay, so at this point, you know, what Janine raised about the fact that we do not have actually enough of the financial information for this committee to even have a qualified discussion. What I see here is basically a stick being wielded in threat. And what's actually happening here is that this body and the station board does need to get this information up to date. And that, in other words, what Sue just asked is extremely important, as what Michael Heiss asked. And in other words, there's no way to know what it is we need until we know what we're short exactly. Okay, so my recommendation is that there has to be a really solid emergency fundraising event at the station. I mean, immediately. And it has to be all hands on deck. It has to be creatively done. And it has to be done, you know, in an emergency fashion where all of the programmers are involved, not just bringing in somebody like Christine Blosdale. I'm talking about a full-on announcement to the listenership that this station is in danger and that we need everybody's help, major. And if we don't, then what this is going to do and what's actually happening here, nobody's going to talk about. And this needs to be dealt with in a way where we do not seek outside money in the form of nonprofit grants, which is what is happening right now on the development task force meeting that nobody gets a chance to hear. The development task force meeting of October 25th, 2021. The recording needs to be posted so that all of the board members can hear what went down on that meeting, October 25th, Development Task Force meeting of the National Board. There's an effort right now that is being obfuscated by Beth Von Gunten at the National Board level. And not enough of the board members in all five single areas even know what's going on. Grace and Beth are leveraging this situation to force this network into grants, and they're using the KPFK financial
point of order. No, point of order.
No, stop. I'm not finished.
Point of order.
I'm not finished, Grace. You're not going to silence me this time.
Point of order.
I'm not finished. Grace.
Grace, sorry. Grace.
I'm not finished making my point. At this point, We are facing a major threat here.
Stop.
And this is because
I have to take a point. I have to take a point of order.
This is because Ian Masters suggesting to his listeners.
Okay. Grace, what's your point of order?
The point of order is it is against Robert's Rules of Order to impugn or disparage a fellow or a board member or a committee member. That's not appropriate. To point out a mistake or something that's incorrect is proper, but simply to impugn or disparage a person on the committee is out of order. That's all.
Thank
you. Who for the stack?
Steve Kaiser.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Your voice was distorted. Okay, the next person on the stack is Michael Novick. Go, Michael, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. I will say, what were you going to say?
I wanted to add after Jonathan's pronouncement, I sent out a whole package of financial documents on before the LSB meeting on Wednesday. I would hope some people would actually read them. Thank you. Michael, you have the floor.
Point of information?
Yeah. Yes.
Those were all fundraising documents. There were no financial. There was not a financial. Still waiting on August.
You are incorrect. I sent out the August P&L. Michael, you have the floor.
Okay.
Point of information from Bella.
Please do not, interrupt other speakers, Bella. Let Michael go, have
point
his.
What's
your point of information?
If Grace can do it, I can do it. Thank you. There was no August P&L with your attachment, and I even wrote you on that. Thank you.
Point of information is a question, not a statement.
Okay, Michael, you have. I'm sorry, Michael. You have the floor.
All right. Okay, so I would appreciate if people could just put forward concrete proposals to either cut the costs or increase the income in a very immediate fashion. I think that there was, I believe, during the protracted negotiation process, the idea was floated about a voluntary cut in hours that would be covered by the California Unemployment Insurance Fund in lieu of layoffs. I think that should be immediately explored again in the immediate interim before any additional layoffs are made. But I think that it's vital to do that. It would be everyone's hours would be cut, and they would get a certain amount of subsidy from the Unemployment Insurance Fund for agreeing to do that. I think that has to be taken up immediately. That would be one very, very rapid cut that could be made in payroll without having to deal with layoffs and severance and the rest of it. In terms of income, we have a town hall tomorrow, and I think that it's vital that part of the town hall be devoted to seeking to raise funds for the station in a very immediate fashion. I don't think it should be put out in terms of the crisis. I think it has to be put out in terms of the capacity for the station to grow. One of the reasons we're in this fix, in addition to the things that Lawrence has talked about, is the going to the same well over and over again with an appeal that's based on our need. And I think it's very clear that that has failed to garner support from even the people who are still listening to the station. I think that the appeal has to be a positive one, even in the circumstances that we're in. If you go back to the same people who have given over and over again, and the fund drive reports that I saw were confusing to me because it seemed to show 5 fund drives, except there were figures for 6. Some of the fund drives that were listed in the material I got had 45 days in length. That's essentially not one fund drive. That's more than a fund drive. So I think that basically the last 2 years almost, the station has been in fund drive every other month for an entire month. That's excessive. And that's the purpose of the fundraising committee. I think the other thing I want to say is that we have to immediately implement the calling out phone banking procedures with participation from members of local station board and other people that the membership department is willing to see involved. I think people who have been phone room volunteers in the past could easily be asked to join in that process. The last thing I'll say is that I do think that there is a tremendous untapped source of programming in our existing community here that would be a far greater appeal than anything that could be piped in from WBAI or KPFA. We have the KPFA news that has not attracted any support. We have other programming we've gotten from KPFA in the past. I think that we need to identify very rapidly some of the things that Lawrence talked about, special programming that can go on the air in the rest of November and into December. This is Native American Heritage Month. We have the National Day of Mourning coming up. There are all kinds of things that will be put on the air, primarily as content that would attract listeners, that can be promoted and publicized to bring listeners in, and along with which we would start appealing for funds on the air to be able to continue that kind of positive community-oriented programming. I'm done.
Thank you, Michael. Bella, you have the floor.
Thank you. So, yes, I agree with all of that. And I took a great deal of quality time to prepare a program grid just to give this GM a hearken back to the glory days of KPFK. I put a lot of work into it very creatively. And he appreciated it, and I'm just hoping that he has been consulting it to get, if it does not implement everything, at least get some general idea, a new vision moving forward. And that's what we need to be talking about, what Grace has proposed is not advisable as far as I'm concerned. Then I want us to return to adhering to what we expect in a finance committee, that we expect the monthly general ledger, accounts payable, aging report. We need to have a complete analysis of the cash. We need a bank reconciliation of the previous month showing how that tied into the general ledger, and so that we know that we're moving forward. And we need to have, of course, a P&L on a monthly, timely fashion. And as long as we are not there, we continue sinking, but we are screaming and we cannot do anything about it. So the only thing that we really should have been dealing with a long time ago is the programming grid, which I have mentioned I don't know how many times. Okay, thanks. Also, I did some analysis because I've entered everything through QuickBooks except for the year, fiscal year for 2021. That's my next project. And I was very alarmed when I noticed that regarding grants, in 2019, I recall I looked up the Tide Foundation, a questionable organization, who gave us $13,195. But then on fiscal year 20, we received $51,884.43. I want to know, want to get the breakdown on that. Who, where, what, and for what, and why. And then for cumulatively through July, for this year, fiscal year 2021, we have received so far grants of $80,667. I want the breakdown of that. Which organizations have given those monies to KPFK and for what purpose and when? Thank you. And that would be on the general ledger.
And
a balance sheet, of course.
Okay, Bella. I would just mention that Barry would never give us the details about who, just the information. Beth, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Beth. I'll separate my remarks into two categories. The first is my place on this stack. I'll follow that with a point of personal privilege regarding the previous comments about the National Development Task Force. So this will take slightly longer. First, regarding the financials from NEDA are consolidated. That means they can be done once NEDA has all the information from all the stations. So it's not sufficient just to have our information, which they have. They have to have the information from all the stations. It's inappropriate to blame NEDA for Pacifica's own shortcomings. If we want more timely financials, then Pacifica itself should get its house in order and provide the information to NEDA in a more timely fashion. we do have the recent fund drive figures, and we could be going over those. We do know from those figures what we have coming in, and we know that it's not sufficient. We're not bringing in as much each day of the fund drive as it costs to keep the station on the air for that day, let alone enough to cover the time between fund drives. Many of the suggestions being brought up here today have been covered in other venues, including at a special session of the PNB last night, which was attended by the GM. And we have it directly from him that he's already considering many of these measures. So I'll leave the finances at that point for now, and I'll move to my point of personal privilege. The National Development Task Force was set up before I was aware of it. It was set up last year, as I just came onto the local LSB board before I had any experience at the national level. I didn't learn about it until this year when I started to attend. I was asked earlier this fall, immediately before one meeting, if I would be willing to chair pro tem for that day, which I agreed to do. At the next month's meeting, I was asked the same, again, under the same circumstances. A few minutes before the meeting, I was asked if I would chair pro tem for that day. And I did. Beyond that, before the next meeting, I was asked by the previous chair if I would be willing to consider chairing the task force. And I said I would consider it if I had a mandate from the committee itself, so we needed to put it to a vote, which we did at the most recent meeting. And I was elected as chair of the task force without opposition. That's the extent of my tenure. I'm still new there. I'm still recent. This is the first time I've chaired a task force rather than a committee. The rules are different. I'm learning what those rules are. I understand the task force was set up as a task force specifically to avoid all the complications and the formalities that are entailed in a committee. The CPB requirements for open meetings and all the rest that goes with that apply to committees. This is not a committee. It's a task force. Because I know it's been a point of contention, as soon as I agreed to take it on, I've been consulting with our compliance officers at the national level and the people from the national board who set this up last year as to what their initial intention was, what the mandate is, and I will be deciding how to proceed on the basis of what I learned from them, also taking into consideration the profoundly unfounded suspicion, accusations, defamations, even threats, before I decide how to proceed. As I understand it now, streaming it live is not a requirement. Opening it to the public is not a requirement. Other measures that are considered requirements for formal committees are not requirements for this. I had initially intended to open it up more than it had been, but seeing what's happened to this point, I'm strongly dissuaded from that. I haven't made decisions regarding this yet. I'm still considering how best to proceed. I'll consult with the committee, with the task force individuals between now and then, and at the task force. But seriously, I really, really do not appreciate my good name and my hard work being slandered while I'm just trying to do what ostensibly this meeting is said to do, which is to try to address our financial crisis. I'll sit down now.
Jonathan on the stack.
Jonathan, you've already spoken once. The next person on the stack is Steve Kaiser. And by the way, hold on, Steve. Is there anybody new who wants to be on the stack? Otherwise, we'll take a second round of stack.
Is there anybody? This is Dave Johnson on the stack.
Dave
Johnson.
Okay, Dave, I've got you. Anybody else?
Jonathan on the stack.
You've already spoken, Jonathan.
Jonathan on the stack.
Anybody else?
Ziri Riddell on the stack.
Thank you, Ziri.
Hello?
Thank you. Anybody else?
Grace, for when you open up a second stack.
I will. I will open the second stack after Ziri. Steve, you have the floor, then Dave, and then Ziri.
Thank you. There's so many things to touch on. I'll try and make it efficient. But I feel that our listenership has kind of been rubbed raw over the years of us constantly being, on the precipice of disaster. And especially with the systemic disasters we've experienced the last couple of years, I'm not looking for them to come back with any strength. And everybody in the world is out there, with their hands out. So this model has worked for us for 70 years, but I do think that we need to change things, especially when we're de-emphasizing premiums, which people have been so kind to purchase over the years. The only other money we get in is from bequests, and that's really variable also. So what we're down to is the Pacifica is asset rich and cash poor, and the assets we have primarily are the signals. In superlative markets in this country. So it's all a matter of time of holding things at bay until they come to the point where they're going to have to liquidate assets one way or another. So in order to respond to this and to stop this, we need a cash infusion elsewhere. And I know I've been a lone voice in promoting this, but I think that we've got an opportunity in this country, considering the political nature of things, to be a real voice for progressive thought. Not that we're right all the time and don't have anything to learn from everybody else and what they have to say, but there is no real voice nationwide for progressive thought. And even beyond that, and we got such great markets for it, but beyond that, as I've mentioned before, I think that we should, and I know it's really hard when we're dying like this, but consider a path of growth, particularly in putting stations in Chicago and Atlanta, where there is so little voice for progressive thought, and we got to worry about the Midwest going the way of the South did in the 60s and becoming totally Republican. So what I'm saying is we need a voice like that, and I think that we can interest some people into helping us fund that. So that means bringing in outside influence. And considering the chaos of Pacifica coast to coast, I don't know why that's necessarily a problem. I mean, it would be a problem if they wrestle control from whoever us is, whoever's in control of Pacifica at the moment. But I think a path of growth is what we need. Or else it's just going to be a matter of time. I've seen this in a lot of organizations. If they got assets and they don't have cash, it's only a matter of time until those assets are liquidated. And we've done an admirable job to keep them at bay so far. But I think that our opportunity is coming to a close in the next year or two. It's been amazing how Pacifica has managed to stay alive in the face of this. So what I'm thinking is trying to approach some people who have an interest in progressive thought particularly and have communities themselves who might take up this idea. And I'm thinking particularly of Oprah Winfrey, a communications expert, and with seems to have most of the right sort of progressive thoughts as far as I can tell from her, or maybe Ted Turner in Atlanta. And just floating some opportunity, getting a list, maybe sending out a letter to these people and to see if there's any real interest for expanding a progressive radio network and at the same time actually saving us. So I think the only path that we got that actually will work is a path of growth. So anyway, thank you. I know it's a lot of the same stuff that I've been reiterating for 6 years, but I am doing some independent research now trying to find likely people, particularly in Atlanta and Chicago, that might be interested in that. But I think we really have to reach out to other progressives, especially there's so much money that these progressive voices have. And what we're asking for is really a pittance. And that's the sort of synergy I think that'll save Pacifica. I'm done. Thanks.
Janine, you'll have to wait until the second stack. Dave, you have the floor.
Thank you, Fred, and committee members. Well, I see the problem. I believe the problems break down into a few categories. Business operations, programming. We need to look at expense cuts. We need to increase revenue. And not to contradict Steve, but I think our real assets are the building properties. So on the business operations,
can someone
one of the things
mute?
We need to... Hello?
Can someone mute,
one of the
please?
Things we need to... Jared, do I have the floor?
Dave, you have the floor. Go. Dave has the floor, Bella. Let the chair take care of the background noise, okay? Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, so thank you, Chair. One of the things we need to do is to bring our fulfillment rate up close to 100%. Now, I've been advocating for this for probably about 8 or 9 years now. KCRW, for example, has a 98%+ fulfillment rate, and they do it a couple simple ways. And one of the big changes that I'll bring up here just to keep this brief is that you do not finance listener premium purchases. They do not ship a premium to anyone until it's paid for in full. Therefore, they're not monthly financing delivered premiums, especially ones where someone can receive it after making a couple payments and then decide it wasn't what it was cracked up to be and then stop paying. I've got somebody at the front door. Fred, can I pass and come back to this? I'm sorry. Got somebody banging on my front door.
Go ahead. We're going to have a second stack very shortly. Zuri, you have the floor.
Thank you, Fred. And
welcome as a new LSB member.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. So my idea for raising more funds would actually be pretty much the opposite of what I've heard a two gentlemen before me say. I believe Oprah or Ted Turner is a catastrophe when we're talking about progressive policies, and we need to stay independent. We're not going to go the way of NPR. This is at least my great hope. So I do feel like the person before actually said there's a big progressive talent pool of journalists that are out there without a home. They're all in the Substack areas. They're all in the podcast areas, and we can bring them here. And so we already driven away one of the best ones, Jimmy Dore, for example, who I believe would come back. He was bringing good money in. There would be other people like Max Blumenthal, Ben Norton, Aaron Mate, Chris Hedges, Glenn Greenwald. These are high-caliber journalists who have no home journalistically in the super-conservative environment in American airwaves. And so these are the people we need to attract. They have already their blogs and their podcasts ready produced. We're just going to syndicate them. They're coming at no cost to us. They will bring in more revenue relatively quickly because I know some of these gentlemen, and they're making good money with their podcasts. And I feel this is our way to grow and forward, not to sell out. And so for me, one more thing I want to say there, and this is actually in regards to Christine Blasdale. Christine Blasdale, when I listened to her, like, let's say 10 years ago or something, maybe 20 years ago, she was a rebel regarding programming, political programming, and thought up stuff that nobody else dared to do. And I think she got more and more rubbed raw by so much criticism that she ended up now doing, you know, mostly face creams and wellness stuff. But she still has all that potential. I feel this is where we need to go back to, and to invite these people in. And I'm volunteering to approach them if you are interested, because I feel this is actually even short-term solution for programming, even for within this month. This is programming that's already available.
and that can be rerouted here relatively quickly. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
I'm back here.
I'm sorry? Oh, Dave?
Dave is back.
Do you want to finish up your, what you were saying? I'll
yes,
let
please.
You go. Please go. Please do.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I'll try to keep it as brief as I can. But there's an operational way that we could reduce our non-payment and increase our fulfillment rate simply by asking listeners if they're donating to use credit cards and make their own payments back to the bank instead of making monthly payments to us when after three or four payments they realize they're not really going to become a millionaire or something on some of these programs that we offer during Fund Drive. That would help us to bring our fulfillment rate up higher. It would save a lot of time in the membership department, and I think it would be an ideal thing to do. A second possibility, and these are wild possibilities. I don't want to get everyone upset here, but we have a desperate situation, and we need to talk about some immediate actions. One of the things we could do is turn the transmitter off at 1 o'clock in the morning and not broadcast again until 5 or 6 a.m. We could do that by shifting the host that's our overnight host. We could have him come on earlier in the day, but what it would do is it would save some electricity and some money perhaps, or even we could even ask this host to have a hours reduction that was brought up earlier by Michael Novick. That could be a way that we could have a reduction in payroll and also a reduction in expenses. Another thing we could always do, which is our Steve Money in the Bank, which is a sell a building. Nobody is coming into the stations since COVID. We have a building that is basically overvalued because of its proximity to the film studios. And so it would be quite possible to sell our building that was appraised a few years ago for $4.5 million and move to another building that might only cost us $1.5 million. And hopefully it would be somewhere closer to downtown L.A. I have a question that, once again, it's an operations question. I've been at the station many times when listeners have come in person during fund drives on weekends and at other times and canceled their donation because the premiums that they had donated for were never sent to them and that they had bad response from the station. They couldn't find out what was going on. And I have personally walked out of the station, people that have come in to ask for refunds where they donated even as high as $500. We need to... one more thing. On programming, some of the programming... Phone room. We should reestablish our own in-house phone room as soon as possible to cut expenses, even if it was just with a couple persons, and we could distribute people around the station if they were nervous about being close together. I recently had to serve on a jury. I sat elbow to elbow with other jurors, and we were all vaccinated. I actually got my booster shot a couple weeks ago. I think we need to consider bringing back our in-house phone room to cut expenses that we're using on the outside call centers, and we should at least have a goal for this to do it in early 2022. We also have to examine whether or not we can afford a webmaster, and we're the only station that has a music director. These things are unfortunate. We're talking about layoffs and what Michael Novick mentioned earlier about taking people down to part-time. But if we need a temporary reduction in cost, this would be one way to do it. Another thing now on some of the other programming issues, I noticed that Maggie LaPique's Rock and Roll Fund Drive specials raised quite a bit of money. She had the member of the Doors on the air. That did quite well. When I was running the cab for over 5 years, at virtually every cab meeting, we were requested that we start a classic rock and roll show, and it was ignored. And here we are, where our music director brings in classic rock stars and people that type to help fundraise, and they were very successful with the fundraising. I think this, once again, demonstrates that the audience, who used to tell us at every single cab meeting that they'd like to have at least one classic rock show with, you know, the popular people from the 70s and 60s and so forth, just like when Robbie Krieger came in. We also need to establish a KPCC-style real-time movie, film, television series review program, bringing in producers and stars from these programs that are actually working directly across the street from us at Universal Studios
and other places nearby, Warner Brothers, so that we can not only have a program of interest to our audience, but also get some of these producers and celebrities more familiar with KPFK and possibly turn some of them into donors or regular visitors, just like some of the rock and roll people that I mentioned earlier. The film club should be reestablished at least sometime in 2022. We should be talking about this. The film club cost the station $0, and every donation made to it by joining the film club goes directly to the bottom line. Even if it's a small contributor, it is still something. But there seems to be staff members or others at the station that keep wanting to squash the resurrection of the KPFK film club. And then on programming, we need to face up to the fact that we have a lot of data now, but programs that either have low listeners and low fund drive dollars need to be edged out of the program grid. We've got a lot of people that we could bring on. Tom Hartman is one of the most popular progressive voices in the country. We could have him playing for 2 hours. Dave Zirin out of our station in Washington, D.C., has a sports program with a progressive angle to it, and sports is very popular with young men and young listeners. We should have Dave Zirin on KPFK. Randy Rhodes, who is arguably the first or second most popular progressive voice in the United States, is sitting in Florida doing a daily show that appears on YouTube. We should approach Randy Rhodes about coming on to our station. She used to be on every day in Los Angeles, 5 days a week. She's still very, very popular. We used to have the Ring of Fire radio program on the air in Los Angeles. It was also a popular program. That was with Mike Papantonio and Robert Kennedy Jr. We should consider bringing that back on. So anyway, I have an even longer list than this, but I think this would be enough for me to stop at this point, and I want to thank the chair. Oh, and my big one, I'm sorry, I almost forgot. My big one is that we should be developing more Pacifica Radio Archives materials that are exclusive to Pacifica to be used for our premiums, and we need to offer less material at more money. And these program materials should be available on our website 365 days of the year, so it would be easy for listeners to click on and purchase these materials just like you would if you were going on eBay or some other online Amazon-type venue. Anyway, well, thank you, Chair. That's it for me.
Yeah, Dave, you're welcome. I let you go on a little longer than I should, but I thought the material you were presenting was useful and relevant to the Finance Committee, and that's why I did. So at this point, I'm going to start a second stack because I wasn't letting people I was only giving people one shot, and now I want to, people can. So, Grace, I'm adding you to the top of the stack. Again, now people can get a second shot at responding to what's been going on and so forth. So I've got Grace.
Jonathan to the stack.
I've got Beth. I've got Beth. Who's next?
Jonathan to the stack.
Jonathan, you're a public, so you're going to be at lower down. Beth, who else? Who on the current members?
Bella before Beth.
Who?
Bella before Beth.
Michael
Novick.
Before Bella. Bella, you're after Beth. Michael Novick.
Mike Heiss, and I also want to re-raise something from earlier about a hard stop. We've gone at this for an hour and a half, and let's have a hard stop.
Hold on a second. I'm sorry? Who just spoke up? I'm sorry, your voice is breaking up, but Michael Heiss, I would like to end this meeting at 6 o'clock, and I agree with you about the time certain, but we weren't able to get to it because this is a special meeting. The stack I have so far is I've got Grace, Beth, Bella, Michael Novick, Michael Heiss, in the public session, Jonathan.
This is Jane. I was on after Grace.
Who? Your voice is breaking up.
This is Janine.
Okay, Janine. I'm putting you after Michael Heiss. Janine, I didn't hear you. So you're going to have to go after Michael Heiss. Okay.
So,
You acknowledged me.
Okay.
Jer, this is Paulina.
Okay. So you want to be on.
I heard Jonathan, Markowitz, and Suco and Johnson requesting the stack numerous times, and I would like to be at the bottom of the stack as well as
okay,
after everybody.
I'm putting you after Sue. Okay. So I've got enough people now that we can start again. As I said, I'd like to try and end this sometime after, you know, sometime around 6 o'clock. It's going to be a 2-hour meeting. So Grace, you have the floor.
Okay, I'm really, really happy that so many good ideas have come up that I agree with. I think it would be important for a rebuttal to the misinformation that Ian Masters and Mansoor Sabah in Roy Tuckman's show put out, and also online that Sonali Kolhatkar put out, misinformation about the dysfunctionality of the National Board, and so on and so forth. However, it would have to be done by credible programmers. I think the names that Ziri mentioned might be engaged. We need to put the information out by people who are respected by our audience. Maybe Margaret Prescott could have a conference and could invite some of the stellar individuals like that Ziri mentioned, like Jimmy Dore, like other people, to dispel and correct the information that was put out continually that discouraged people from donating to KPFK. The next thing I'd like to say, and there are a lot of good ideas that came through. Dave Johnson's ideas were good. Michael Novick's ideas were good. I think we need to take programming, very strong programming from other stations, such as Dave Zirin's show from WPFW, and I think that shows that have made considerable amount of money for other stations and that have increased listenership and membership at other stations, such as Low Paid at Large, such as Flashpoints at KPFA. These are strong programs. I think we could repeat the Ralph Nader Radio Hour in prime time. There are a number of shows. There's Project Censored. That's an excellent show. That would be strong to improve our programming grid. However, I think that we must reduce our expenses. Fred has put out many financial reports. Most of our expenses and most of our income are fixed. We can tell what our income is from our fund drive totals. We know that we're spending much more than we're bringing in. Having very up-to-date financials is, of course, desired. However, the differential between past financials and current ones, except for the information we have, which is such as fund drive totals, are of very little consequence because it's 5% or less difference. We know that we're spending much more than we're bringing in. This is a crisis situation. We can't wait until we get perfect financials. The next thing is we can't afford a business manager, and our general manager needs to be expected to deal with the finances himself, just as the GM of WBAI has for the last 4 or 5 years, just as the GM of WPFW has. Those stations cannot afford full-time business managers. We cannot even afford a part-time business manager, unfortunately. We do have help from NETA. I would like to say also we have to face the fact that only KPFA is supported primarily by its news and public affairs programming. That's the only station, and they have an extremely progressive population up there, unfortunately, much more progressive than our signal area. If we look at our current fund drive totals, we see that of the highest income-producing shows, most of them are health, music, or self-help. The only show that's bringing in money that's anywhere near public affairs is Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. The rest are, you know, whosamacallit, Something's Happening, which is Alan Watts, who's been dead for 25 years, who has New Age kind of spirituality, Expansion Zone, Global Village, Maggie's, Robbie Krieger Show, Global Village, Reggae Central, Christine, Global Village, Rhapsody in Black, Reality Check, Christine, Inner Visions, Pocho Hour of Power. These are the first, 15 fundraising shows or money that's been brought in the most current fund drive. If you look back, you will find that this is the case. WPFW has two audiences. According to Mo Thomas, who was our interim GM, I was on with him on a discussion show, Zoom, on Saturday. I asked him, and he told me that he estimates that two-thirds of the income of WPFW is brought in from their music. Approximately 60% of the income of KPFT is brought in by music, not public affairs. WBAI and KPFK have, for a number of years, had most of its income come in from a combination of health and self-help. This is a reality we need to face. If we think, because we're interested, I'm a newsaholic myself, just because I'm interested in that, to assume that people are going to donate to KPFK based on news and public affairs is not realistic if we look at the past income sources for KPFK. We have to face that reality. Think about yourself. Have you donated to a podcast that's in sync with your political views? Or have you bought something on Amazon to improve your health? Or how much do you spend on... Anyway, I don't want to go into it. The statistics show what has been bringing in money for the last few years. It's incontrovertible. We have to face that reality and decide that, as I've said many times in the past, only about 3% or less of the population of Southern California strongly believes in the ideological views that we hold, I think, in common, more or less. However, everybody has a body, which is why the health premiums bring in so much money. People care about their own health, the health of their children, and the health of their parents. It's a universal thing. We need to find programming that people are willing to support financially.
Excuse me, was there a time limit on these?
Okay, I'm sorry, but the last thing, I agree with Michael Novick's and Lawrence's ideas. We need to have opinion leaders who our members and listeners respect, correct some of the misinformation put out by Ian Masters, who people do respect, whether we like it or not. And he had discouraged donations to KPFK. We need to put on the air a rebuttal to that, but it needs to come from the mouths of people who are respected by our members and our audience. That's all.
Chair, this is not ever a point of personal privilege.
Yes, Lawrence, what's your point of personal privilege?
Okay, I have a union meeting that I have to go to, but one of the things I want to say is that our actions should be mission-driven, and I would just like to add the demographics and geographics that we need to add some color to the grid, for lack of a better word. So please take that for what it's worth. From what I hear nothing but saviors coming to our rescue, and I don't hear nobody, BIPOC people, that could speak for themselves. So, if we want to articulate what Fannie Lou Hamer was about, then we should get somebody that could articulate from that community what Fannie Lou Hamer was about, where she is pretty popular. So thank you for the point of personal privilege. I'll catch up with the notes. Thank you very much.
Hold on, Lawrence. I really don't like this thing of people using points of order and points of personal privilege and points of information to basically jump the stack. Thank you.
I didn't mean to jump the stack. I have to go. I would stay 2 hours more.
Go.
As you know, but I have to go.
Lawrence, go.
So I just wanted to say what I wanted to say. And I could have been incorrect, and I apologize for that, Chair.
Thank you. Beth, you have the floor next.
Thank you. I really appreciate all the ideas that are percolating to the surface here. I've been taking lots of notes, and I'll follow up on them. I did want to add a point of information here that just to kind of a reality check. The one and only person in the Pacifica network bringing in money overnight anywhere in our network is Roy Tuckman.
He brings in more than he costs.
He's always at or near the top earners. To move him to any other time of day would disconnect him from his core audience and leave them behind. We already have a directive from the Pacifica National Board not to further cut the moneymakers. We do need to make additional cuts, but to cut moneymakers is just cutting off our nose to spite our face. So, thank you.
Thank you, Beth. And I serve with Beth on the National Finance Committee, so we talk all the time. In any case, Bella, you have the floor.
Yes, I wanted to point out that in the grid that I submitted to the general manager, I did what needed to be done, which should have been done a long time ago, is to bring out all the programming. We have great programming that is in most obscure time slots, early wee hours of Saturday morning, Monday morning, Sunday. If someone can mute, because I notice when I speak and when someone else speaks, the noise starts. Okay, and so I brought them to prime. Mr. Chair, can you ask for someone who is making that noise to mute?
I'm trying to find them. Just continue.
Okay. And I brought them to prime time Monday through Friday, including Ralph Nader, including the Economy Hour report with Wolf, Richard Wolf, including, well, anyway, and to give variety of voices and content and analysis, I also was very creative in putting a alternating or rotating strip with all kinds of, I took all the spirituality out Monday through Friday, and I reinforced the health issues and also environmental, animal rights, healthy cuisine. So all of this in one strip. And then I took all that spirituality stuff and I put them on Sunday morning. And I brought in there as well Atheists United, Agnostics. There's a huge population for those people. I'm one of them. But I do not appreciate bringing back the imports that we began experiencing in 2009 when all our local programming, our local flavor, at the same time our news department was disappearing, all replaced by imports of pre-recorded programs from national recordings. Okay, so that I will not stand for. That cannot be, that does not comport with our mission. So we need to get back to our roots, and until we face that reality, we will continue to sink. And at this committee, some speak of very different view, where others harness around another point of view. And we got to come together. Okay. And I agree with Steve. Steve has had some good ideas. I like his ideas, again. We got to be very careful who we bring in as a mouthpiece to get us out from where we are. We got to be very careful. We have to be mindful who we are, the mission, who we are. We are a unique organization, folks. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. And by the way, we are not the program director. Okay. Michael Novick, you have the floor.
Yes, I wanted to speak a little bit about what we can bring back and what we can introduce. There are a lot of shows that we used to have that had quite substantial audiences. For example, Experience Talks, we had the Disability Rights Show, we had Poets Cafe. These are all locally produced shows with local audiences and local hosts and able to tap into existing movements of people. There's a very, very large disability rights movement in Los Angeles. I think we could have a Veterans Affairs show done by Veterans for Peace locally that would tap into an enormous audience of people at the VA, the homeless veterans on the streets, and many, many other people. I think we have to identify local programming. I think that's the key. The idea that there's no audience for public affairs flies in the face of the reality that we have two major NPR stations, one of which is completely talk radio. The other mixes music and talk and has a substantial block of public affairs programming, which are vastly more successful than KPFK. And we need to ask ourselves why that is and what we can do about it. What is the positive, community-oriented, engaged radio offering solutions to problems that people are facing? So if we had a show about housing, there are enormous organizations in Southern California like the Los Angeles Tenants Union, Sindicato de Inquilinos, that are grappling with the question of housing and rentals and evictions. There's Los Angeles Community Action Network that's mobilizing unhoused people and poorly housed people in Skid Row and other parts of the city. So these are organizations that we can bring onto the airwaves. We have to have a local newscast. One of the kiss of death for KPFK was when Shorthide Kemper canceled the local news and started importing the so-called Pacific Evening News from the Bay Area. The difference in the political cultures of the two areas, it's not a question of one is more radical or left than the other. There's a long, long history in the Bay Area and certain areas north of San Francisco of an anti-imperialist politic, an anti-war politic. That's different from the long history of Southern California. But Southern California is changing dramatically, and it's changing primarily with demographic changes and changes in youth. For example, if you look at the teacher corps in United Teachers Los Angeles, which is still about 30,000 strong, used about 45,000. They've pared down public education through charter schools. But the teacher corps has changed substantially. It was mostly white teachers teaching students of color, no longer the case. Most of the new teachers in UTLA are teachers of color. And the predominant population in this area is people of color. And we have to program to those people who are grappling with the issues that they face and are looking for solutions and not finding them in NPR, not finding them on podcasts. They're going to find them from a station that is committed to dealing with social transformation and change in the direction of peace and justice that Pacifica has promised to do. So I'm fine with a few shows coming in. Dave Zirin, I think, does a great and unique program, certainly better than trying to air Alan Mincy talking about soccer. But in general, what we can sell to our audience and pitch to our audience and get support from our audience from is programming that speaks to them, to their needs, and speaks by them and from them. And that's why I say there's a tremendous amount of talent out in the community right now producing content of all kinds in movements and social struggles, and we have to tap into that. And not to the exclusion of some other ideas, you know, Ralph Nader has a place, you know, Richard Wolff has a place, but the key is to have shows that strike a nerve with people because it's relating to the experiences they're having in this city, which is a city of enormous contradictions between wealth and poverty, the highest, you know, land values and the lowest income of any big city like this in the United States. And those are realities you have to speak to with solutions that are being crafted by people who are dealing with them and have things to say that other people want to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I think you made your point well. Michael Heiss?
Bella,
yes, thank you. Yes, please, Bella. what do you call it? It's almost 6 o'clock, and I'm going to try and keep this short. All of these comments, they have very constructive programming suggestions. This is the Finance Committee. For 2 hours, we haven't come up with one action item. What can we do to improve the financial state, the telecom bill, electricity, anything that we can do to improve the financial status? Programming goes in the Programming Committee, and let it be discussed there with all these great ideas. I'm not diminishing the ideas, but we haven't, we talked for 2 hours, and we have, now,
he is lifted up, placed in the chair, he's hyperventilating. You can see his defense.
All right, please, I'll stop hyperventilating, just let me finish. Let's, in the next meeting, A, keep all comments to 90 seconds. B, set a hard stop. C, let's come up with action items that will, D, and most importantly, improve the financial health and status. And you're right, I was hyperventilating. I presume that was Bella. But maybe it's because this is so bloody exasperating. I'm on this committee to help finances. I have my say in the Programming Committee, as everybody should. But this isn't the place for programming. It's the place for finances. I've had my 90 seconds, and I'm done, and I hope we can adjourn at 6 o'clock.
Michael, I hope we...
Stack.
I'm sorry?
No. Sue Stack.
I can't understand you. You're breaking up. But thank you so much, Michael Heiss. And you're right. It's 5 minutes to six. The next person I have in the stack, and then I'm going to go to the new members, is Janine.
Okay, thank you. I'm hoping that if Grace is going to help with the secretary duties on this, it would be great to get a list of all these ideas actually itemized, because we talk about them a lot. A lot of this came up during
the... One of them goes out taking advantage of a vulnerable situation, so they can live out a fantasy of being king of the world, and one of them out there...
Who is that?
I'll say that a lot of things came up during this election cycle, too, and also when we were interviewing GMs, one of the things that kept coming up was taking advantage of the youth and the online fundraising possibilities. And what I'm realizing, I started the fundraising committee, I kind of revitalized it, but what I'm quickly finding is almost everything that comes up is going to need money. The phone banking software to keep the listenership contact information costs money on a monthly basis. We've researched doing a live event, but the permitting costs money, and a venue costs money. And I know that last year, Michelle Manos and myself often talked about bringing somebody in to do a bid as far as, you know, somebody who takes on online fundraising and knows how to do this and propose something to the station. And it was sort of shot down a couple of times because that would cost money. So this all kind of relates back to that we need a budget, because in our budget, we should be investing in ourselves. None of this is going to really happen just on its own. And so if we are right now, you know, KTSA or whoever is covering these expenses, it would be interesting to know if there were a few of these items that we wanted to put into place to invest in ourselves, what it would mean, and over 3 months or 6 months, because it should be part of our plan. It's a risk, and we need to be able to take risks. We need to be able to take risks with our programming. And so it's hard to do that when you're behind and afraid, but we've got to be brave enough to do that. So, and I think that the more we do that, I think with premiums, and I do agree that there's, I have a friend of mine who she made money based on the film club, and she never got anything. Never got any notifications or anything. We've seen in the election, a lot of people didn't get ballots. I think we need to shore up our membership and show them that we care. And that's why I'm happy to be doing the phone banking. Part of the issue is coming up with a script, because what we're doing is we're messaging to our membership how we're changing and how we're going to shift. And so that is a big task. So I invite everybody to try to show up to the fundraising committee with your ideas. Thank you.
I motion to extend to 7 o'clock, Mr. Chair.
Are you really going to do that, Bella? We've been here 2 hours. People are going to start leaving shortly.
7 o'clock.
Point of personal privilege.
Okay.
Janine.
We want to talk.
Yeah, I would like the chair to not speak so disparagingly to one of the members constantly. Thank you.
Also, I would like to remind Janine that governments has no authority to spend money, to hire anybody, or to do anything directly at the station. We have to go through management. We have to talk to management. And you guys ran off management at the last meeting.
I didn't say that it wouldn't, Fred. If you're going to comment on that, if you're going to take your personal privilege and make comments about what I had to say, then I should be able to respond. I never said that we would do it. I'm saying that we don't have a budget. And when we do have a budget, I would hope that it has something in it that can invest in these ideas that we have.
Yes. Move to extend.
There's a motion to extend to 7 o'clock.
Do we have to take a vote on this? If we don't extend, if we don't extend, then we have to. Have to adjourn.
Point of order.
Point of order. Yes.
What's your point of order,
point
Grace?
Of order. The point of Bella spoke to make a motion without being recognized by the chair. She jumped the stack. There are
true.
Other people on the stack. That's the first thing.
But we're at time.
That's the first thing. However, it's up to you, Mr. Chair, if you want to allow Bella to make her motion to extend.
I object to it being referred to as her trying to jump the stack. We are at time, and she was trying to do a motion to extend. There's no reason to speak about her disparagingly like that.
Extend half an hour.
Bella spoke without being recognized by the chair.
Extend half an hour.
Everybody quiet. Everybody stop.
Half an hour.
I'm going to recognize Michael Novick at this point.
Yes. The point of order is that we are at the time you set to adjourn. At that time, somebody has to move to extend or else the meeting is over. So stop arguing about whether or not Bella has the right to make the motion, and just take a vote, and if it's defeated, the meeting is over.
Thank you, Michael.
Extend half an hour.
Hold on. I accept Bella's motion to extend. We're going to take a vote.
Alternate?
We're going to take a vote.
Okay, point of order, Mr. Chair. Sue
yes?
is putting forward an amendment or a substitute motion to extend for 30 minutes instead of an hour. I don't know if you heard her.
Do we?
Yes, please.
Is there any way opposed to that?
Yes.
move to adjourn cannot be amended.
Well, we're not voting on moving to adjourn. We're moving to remove. The motion was made to extend an hour. So that is debatable. So is there anybody opposed? Is there anybody opposed to Sue's motion or amendment to adjourn? Excuse me, to continue just for a half hour? Please mute your microphone. I'm hearing lots of noise. Is there anybody opposed to Sue Cohen Johnson's motion, amendment to extend just a half an hour?
Yes.
Bella objects.
Okay.
Yes, I object.
Jonathan objects.
You know, we're going to spend 30 minutes here voting on voting on amendment and then a motion to continue. Can we just, Sue, could you remove your motion to change that to your amendment to 30 minutes so we can just vote on the motion to extend?
Okay.
Okay. So Bella's motion on the floor is to extend for another hour till 7 o'clock. I'm going to take a vote on this. A yes is to extend. A no is not to extend and to adjourn this meeting. Alan Beek.
Alan votes no.
Thank you, Alan. Beth Van Vooten. Beth?
Sorry, I was muted. No, thank you.
Thank you. Michael Novick.
No.
Thank you, Michael. Lawrence Ray, well, Lawrence is no longer here. He's, absent. Rocio, okay, Rocio is not here either. Janine Rowan. Janine.
No.
Okay. Bella?
Yes.
Okay. Grace?
No.
Ken Aaron?
Did you hear him?
I can't hear him. It might be that I've got him muted because he was making a lot of noise on his line.
Oh, okay. Let me. Okay.
Hold on. Ken, how do you vote?
Here. Talk louder, Ken.
I'm talking louder. Ken Aaron says no.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay.
Raymond Goldstone?
No.
Thank you. Michael Heiss?
No.
Thank you, Michael. Dave Johnson? Dave? Steve Kaiser? Steve? Okay, Ruth Strauss? Ruth?
I'm passed, thank you.
How do you vote?
Abstain, thank you.
I've got that, abstain. I'm going to go back to the people. Dave Johnson? I don't hear Dave. All I hear is silence. Steve Kaiser?
Uh,
Well, I guess we may have lost these two. So the vote, as I've got it at this point, is
Sue can vote. Sue can vote, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Sue. I forgot. I have you a different point in my spreadsheet. How do you vote?
Yes, to extend.
Okay, thank you.
Ziri, I can also vote Ziri.
Yeah, I'm looking here. You should be on my, oh, I'm sorry, Ziri. I had you marked as absent. That's why I didn't call you. I think you were late or something like that. How do you vote, Ziri?
Yes, abstain.
You're abstain. That's okay. I'm just going to ask also if a couple of the, is King Riley present? Was King Riley late? How about Maria Skelton? John Wanger? Okay. Okay, the vote is one yes, nine no.
Excuse me. Jonathan votes yes.
Well, I don't have you down yet as, okay, so you vote yes. Okay, hold
Jonathan
on.
Jonathan votes yes.
And Ruth Strauss passed.
Well, I got Ruth Strauss as abstaining.
Ruth Strauss abstained.
Bella, I have Ruth as abstaining, okay? And so the vote, I'm announcing the vote at this time. It's final. It's one yes, nine no, two abstentions, two silent, one absent. Okay.
Jonathan votes yes.
I'm sorry.
Jonathan votes yes.
I heard you, Jonathan.
Yes.
Hold on, people. The two of you, Jonathan and Sue, I have you in a different part of my spreadsheet that doesn't get counted, so you're right. It's three yes, nine no, two abstentions. We are adjourned.
Point of information.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. The meeting is adjourned. It's now 6:09.